はい。
You're listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, broadcasting from Burnaby, BC, Canada.
Welcome to Earth Riot Radio. I'm Reverend Billy here in Los Angeles. And I'm here with a part of eight people in a bus, a part of the Stop Shopping Choir. We've been dropped night after night for 1.5 hours in front of a sea of faces reaching all the way to the horizon, opening for Neil Young and the Chrome Hearts Band. And we've been saying with our songs and with my preaching what we say on this radio show again and again. The earth is alive. The earth is intelligent. The earth is having a crisis because of us. The good news is we are the earth ourselves. And we can be much stronger in our activism if we remember that we are acting on behalf of, we are agents of, we are a part of this living being called the earth. So there you go. That's a pretty simple message. Hard to say, though. But people have been receiving us with cheers and just like a sigh of relief, because I think we all know this. And we are all also knowledgeable about our hesitation. We know that we're not doing much right now for the idea of the Earth's survival and our own health and well-being. We've been hesitating because we're consumers. We're inside this gigantic system of objects and money and conveniences and comforts. And it's really hard to imagine being beyond the saturation, advertising, the pixels, and the 24-hour surveillance of this system. Well, let's work on that today. Glad you're here. Let's celebrate this life, this moment. All right? Will somebody give me an earth-a-lu-yah?
Yeah.
to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on report from 29 districts. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Green Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Keyes, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with Coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.
to news from the natural world. I'm Savitri D. Urban trees are often seen as natural allies in fighting summer heat waves, but how much they actually help to cool their surroundings depends heavily on how moist the soil is. This is the main finding of a new study led by environmental engineers and published in NPJ Urban Sustainability, which investigated several urban neighborhoods in Zurich. The research team wanted to understand how well trees can cool cities and what trees need to do so. The conclusion is clear: water is essential. Only when the soil around the trees is sufficiently moist can the trees noticeably lower the surrounding air temperature. The study also shows that evaporation from the ground itself plays a crucial role, cooling the air in a similar way to a damp sponge, slowly drying out. Canada's record-breaking 2023 wildfires exposed more than 350 million people to air pollution that likely contributed to tens of thousands of deaths. The findings published last week underscored that severe wildfires do not only have local consequences, but can inflict real harm a continent away. Extreme fire conditions, supercharged by climate change, fanned thousands of blazes across Canada between May and September 2023 that torched around 18 million hectares, an area larger than England. The five-month wildfires were unprecedented in size and scale, releasing massive plumes of acrid smoke that turned skies yellow and triggered health warnings across North America. But the smoke drifted as far as Europe, causing spikes in harmful PM2.5 pollutants and a measurable decline in air quality thousands of miles from the heat and flames in Canada. Brilliant colors in mammals are more common than previously thought. Iridescence is a phenomenon where colors change when an object is viewed from different angles. It is not created by the presence of colored pigments, but is a trick of the light produced by the way it interacts with different structures. For example, it is what makes a soap bubble or the surface of a compact disc shimmer with a rainbow of colors. Iridescence was previously found in only one mammal, the golden mole. But Jessica L. Dobson from Ghent University in Belgium and colleagues have discovered iridescence in several other species across eight different families, including rodents and shrews. In all, they found iridescence in every one of the families they studied. The purpose of iridescence is not yet fully understood and could be for visual communication, camouflage, or a byproduct of another adaptation. Many of the species studied live near water or burrow underground, and the smooth surface of the hairs that creates iridescence may help keep their fur clean. In Alaska's Brooks Range, rivers once clear enough to drink now run orange and hazy with toxic metals. As warming thaws formerly frozen ground, it sets off a chemical chain reaction that is poisoning fish and wreaking havoc on ecosystems. As the planet warms, a layer of permafrost, permanently frozen Arctic soil that locked away minerals for millennia, is beginning to thaw. Water and oxygen creep into the newly exposed soil, triggering the breakdown of sulfide-rich rocks and creating sulfuric acid that leaches naturally occurring metals like iron, cadmium, and aluminum from rocks into the river. Oftentimes, geochemical reactions like these are triggered by mining operations, but that is not the case this time. This is what acid mine drainage looks like, says Tim Lyons, a biogeochemist at the University of California, Riverside. But here, there's no mine. The permafrost is thawing and changing the chemistry of the landscape. Researchers have identified 6.5 million hectares of previously unrecorded oil palm growing wild, semi-wild, and in gardens across the African continent, an area three times larger than all African commercial plantations combined. The research found non-plantation oil palm near 79% of villages in Congo's rainforests and over half of villages in West Africa. The Democratic Republic of Congo contains the largest area at 2.5 million hectares, followed by Nigeria with 1.9 million hectares. These findings have significant implications for understanding food security in Africa. Red palm oil is a traditional ingredient providing essential fats and vitamins that many African diets currently lack. The discovery suggests the nutritional fat gap may be less severe than previously thought. European Union lawmakers gave a final green light this week to a law on slashing back the mountains of food wasted in Europe each year and curbing the environmental impact of so-called fast fashion. Brussels estimates the 27-nation bloc generates around 130 kilograms of food waste per person each year, adding up to 60 million tons, as well as around 15 kilos each of textile waste. By curbing food waste, the EU aims by extension to cut the amount of water, fertilizer, and energy used to produce, transform, and store foodstuffs that end up being thrown away. The same logic applies to textiles, where the EU says manufacturing a single cotton t-shirt requires 2,700 liters of fresh water, the amount the average person drinks in 2.5 years. By 2030, they will have to slash by 30% the food waste generated by households, retailers, and restaurants. They will also have to cut 10% of the waste generated by food processing and manufacturing. When the temperature rises, Americans, especially those with less money and education, drink lots more sugary beverages and a bit more frozen desserts. It amounts to more than 100 million pounds of added sugar consumed in a year, compared to 15 years earlier. Researchers found that sugar consumption rose as temperatures moved between 54 and 86 degrees Fahrenheit. And the warmer it got, the more sugar was consumed, until appetites begin to lessen when it grows warmer than 86 degrees. The world has far fewer places to securely store carbon dioxide deep underground than previously thought, steeply lowering its potential to help stem global warming, according to a new study that challenges long-held industry claims about the practice. The study, published this week in the journal Nature, found that global carbon storage capacity was 10 times less than previous estimates after ruling out geological formations where the gas could leak, trigger earthquakes, or contaminate groundwater, or had other limitations. That means carbon capture and storage would only have the potential to reduce human-caused warming by 0.7 degrees Celsius, far less than previous estimates of around 5 to 6 degrees Celsius. Carbon storage is often portrayed as a way out of the climate crisis. Our findings make clear that it is a limited tool and reaffirms the extreme importance of reducing emissions as fast and as soon as possible, said lead author Matthew Gidden. And now, the sounds of extinction, the great hammerhead shark. A new study from the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill has uncovered that shark meat sold in U.S. grocery stores, seafood markets, and online vendors often comes from endangered species and is frequently mislabeled. Researchers purchased and DNA barcoded 29 shark meat products to determine their species identity, finding that 93% of samples were ambiguously labeled and included meat from 11 different shark species. Among the species identified were the great hammerhead and the scalloped hammerhead, both listed as critically endangered by the International Union for Conservation of Nature. Despite global declines in shark populations, their meat was being sold to American consumers, sometimes for as little as $2.99 per pound. The great hammerhead inhabits tropical waters around the world. The typical minimum great hammerhead measures 11 feet long and weighs over 500 pounds, though some weigh up to 1,000 pounds. The heaviest known great hammerhead is a female, weighing 1,280 pounds, caught off Boca Grande, Florida, in 2006. The weight of the female was due to her being pregnant with 55 neonatal pups. The great hammerhead is a solitary, nomadic predator. Adult hammerheads have no major predators except for killer whales and humans. The great hammerhead is extremely vulnerable to overfishing due to its low overall abundance and long generation time. Females breed only once every 2 years, and their gestation period is 11 months. The litter size ranges from 6 to 55 pups. Almost every species of shark is declining. There are 71% fewer sharks swimming in the ocean than there were 50 years ago. And hear the sound of Caribbean hammerhead shark waters.
Time to say goodbye and thank you. Thank you to Savitri D, the news reporter from the Earth. Jason Candler, thank you for your editing. And thank you for your symphony of more than human voices. That bullfrog especially, a notable solo. And thank you to Neil Young for this tour that is just coming to its end. Thank you to Daryl Hannah. Thank you to the Chrome Hearts, and thank you to the dozens of people that contribute directly to that. Scores of people working on that tour over the last 5 weeks. Thank you to all of you, people we won't ever be able to meet to thank personally. The Ojibwe drumming, the Ojibwe Nation, thank you. Thank you to the Stop Shopping Choir for your... That Go to the Mountain is one of the... I Go to the Mountain is one of the climactic moments in the half hour that we've been performing for all the folks in the amphitheaters. And thank you to Gil Scott Heron for his masterpiece, his teaching. It's a teaching. And we often we're returning to New York the day after the Hollywood Bowl performance tomorrow. We often go right to the places that have the heaviest television presence. And I would say that Times Square has become a three-dimensional, a place to a walk-through screen, a canyon of screens. The buildings have been converted into televisions, and the advertising is so powerful now that you have the sensation you're falling through space chasing that car or that perfume or that underwear or that sports event. It's more powerful than ever. And the people are really hypnotized on some level there, most of them. And we have got to learn how to break through with our songs and our dancing and our personalities and what we have to give them just with our bodies. We believe that's what the Earth is talking to us about. We believe that is the lesson we've learned over the years. We're returning to where the Church of Stop Shopping began in Times Square. But Gil Scott Heron could never have anticipated. Well, I think he did anticipate the 17-story high televisions. Anyway, we won't be able to thank all the people that contributed to that tour, but maybe some of you will visit us in New York. Maybe we'll be able to meet in some way. On the 21st, this coming Sunday, we will be at the Quaker Meeting House just east of Union Square, New York, at 5 p.m. We'll be recounting some of the singing and some of the preaching that we did over the last 5 weeks. Thank you, everyone. Thank you for being here with us. Earthalluja!
You're listening to CJSF and 90.1 FM in Burnaby. CJSF is diverse, independent, and yours, sharing music and voices from genres and cultures around the world, reflecting you and the rest of your community. You make CJSF diverse.